message of the gospel is the very heart of Scripture. What we believe about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is the foundation for what we believe about all of life. Welcome back to Light of the Word Radio. This week, Pastor Jim concludes his sermon on Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 to 9, and reminds us that we all need to be hearers of the gospel. Whether we are saved or lost, we need to hear the truth of God's word. It tells us of our sin and of the salvation that is found in Jesus Christ alone. False teachers want to give us new truth dreamed up in the darkness of their own imaginations, but the truth of all things is found only in the Word of God and in the gospel of Jesus Christ. So let's tune in and hear the conclusion of this powerful message.
Paul goes on. He says, not that there is another gospel. After having said they turned to a different gospel, he says, not that there is another gospel. Just to be completely clear, this is the gospel. Jesus Christ came, born of a virgin, lived a perfect life, died on the cross, taking on the cross the penalty of death for those who believe. Taking on the cross the wrath that was set aside for those who believe so that they would not have to take it. He died on that cross. He was buried, wrapped in the burial garments, stuck in a tomb, stone rolled in front, dead. And then on the third day, he rose again in power and victory. And the victory was his over death, but the victory was the victory of everyone who believes. Because we now have that life in us. That's the gospel. Now all this other stuff comes out of the gospel. And there's some important things that come out of the gospel. But that's the gospel. That's the basis. That's the foundation. And when we start adding to that other acts, we have failed. The most well-known scripture in America is what? Just tell me. John 3:16. That's right. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe on him would never perish, but have eternal life. That is the gospel. How he did it. Virgin birth, perfect life, death on the cross, punishment on the cross, ours, burial, and resurrection. And now he is seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding for you and I. There is this idea in today's world, and you hear it all over. God loves everybody. Everybody's a child of God. Whenever I say it, I feel like breaking out in kumbaya. God loves his creation, but he loves his elect. He loves those who he chose before the foundations of the world and wrote their names into the Lamb's Book of Life before there was even an axis for this earth, that they would be the bride of Christ. He loves them. If you don't believe me, Sunday night, last time I preached, the scripture from Malachi started out with, Jacob I loved, Esau I hated. He didn't say he hated Esau's sin. He didn't say he hated what Esau did. He said, Esau I hated. Period. But for those whom he loves, this grace that he pours out changes us because of the gospel. And it's important for us to get this gospel right. And it's important for us not to believe those things that come. He says here in this verse 7, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. How many things have you been told that were not true about Jesus Christ? Can you count them? I can't. I can't count the things that I at one time believed that were wrong about Jesus Christ. But to overcome that, we spend time in the Bible. To overcome that, we get in here and we see, oh, well, he says this. I've actually had people say, well, I don't read the Bible because I don't understand it. I'm sorry, but you don't understand it because you don't read it. Read it and read it again. Pick a book and just take that book of the Bible and read it over and over again. And pretty soon you'll say, I understand this. You know, there's authors that I have to do that with. I said that the other day. You know, when I started reading John Piper, I had to go back to it over and over because he said things in such a way that didn't make sense and didn't roll into my head. And so I had to go back and read it again and then read it again and read it again. Now when I read John Piper, I know what he's talking about because I have read enough of his stuff that I know how he speaks, I know how he thinks, and so when he says something, I know what he's talking about. Somebody told me John MacArthur was hard to follow. And I thought, well, I've been listening to him for 25 years. And I've been reading his book for 20 years. I don't have any trouble following him. When we spend the time in the Bible and we spend the time in the Word, we don't have trouble following it. Now, I'm not telling you you'll understand every mystery. They're called mysteries to those who read for a reason. But he will open up worlds to you that Walt Disney never knew existed. Just spend the time in his Word. We as a church, over the last August of next year will be 20 years since we started our first meeting. August of next year. And in that 19 years, we have had many people come and want us to change what we teach, change who we are. And I tell you, sometimes they've had convincing arguments. They have. But when we go back to the Word is clear. Now, there's been others who have come, like I said earlier, and said, well, Pastor Jim, I think we should look at this. And we go and look at it, and I say, oh, thank you. I hadn't seen that. And I have to change what I say because of the Word of God. Barbara Dexter used to do that to me. Rodney's smiling back there because I know she grabbed his elbow a time or two after a Sunday school class. A godly woman, but there have been godly men who have done the same. Folks, we do not reject something that we do not understand yet. We listen, we take it to God's Word, and we accept or reject it according to the Word of God. And when it is true, we need to be humble enough to change to match the Scripture. And anybody who thinks that they have it all down is a fool, because we don't. We continue to go back, continue to be in it. I heard it said before, and I believe it completely, that it is as important for a Christian, a believer, to hear the gospel as it is for a non-believer. We need that reinforcement of truth. But we've had people come and try to lead us away, try to stop us from teaching truth for the sake of unity sometimes for the sake of their own conviction. We've had people come and say, I don't want you to preach about sin anymore. One man told me, when I leave church, I want to float on a cloud. I didn't say it, but I thought to myself, it might be the only thing you know about clouds, because from there on, it's going downhill. Friends, I feel like I'm going over and over and hammering this, but it's important. This is of utmost importance. And to tell you just how important it is, verse 8, but even if we, or an angel from heaven, should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. Anathema. Let him be damned. Let him be damned to hell and eternal punishment. That's what it says. That's what it means. That's how serious this subject is. And folks, I always offend somebody when I start naming names, but I'm going to do it anyway. I cannot give you an exhausted list of everyone who is a false teacher, but I can tell you some of the most popular ones. I'll start with Joel Osteen. I'll go to Benny Hinn, Schuller. I will go to Beth Moore, Joyce, what's her name? Myers, that's it. The list goes on and on. In fact, I believe in my heart that every false prophet teaches partial truth. If they didn't, there wouldn't be any reason to believe them at all, right? Even in this situation, as Paul's addressing, yes, it's grace, but you have to add on circumcision to grace. You can't receive circumcision until, or you can't receive grace until you receive circumcision. So they weren't denying the grace. They were just adding to it. And there are preachers, the ones I've mentioned, but there are others. Boy, my mind sometimes goes blank. Saddleback Church, Rick Warren. There are many preachers out there, but they're not just national preachers. There are preachers in our communities who distort the Word of God. So we have to ask, why would somebody do that? Why would somebody want to distort the Word of God? There's a number of reasons. I think at the top of the list is money and fame. So many of these that will tell you, if you send the seed money, if you send enough money in and you believe enough, you will be healed. You will be rich. And what you do is you make them rich by sending that money in. Another one on that list would be Oral Roberts, the man who locked himself in a tower and said that God was going to kill him if he did not raise $1 million. I tell you, there is nothing about that statement that matches the Word of God, period. Nothing. But again, we have them here local. They're all around us. Some of them are after money, but some of them are after prestige. Cynthia and I have noticed in the music industry, in the Hollywood type industry, movies and so forth, we see somebody that seems to come in and they seem to have some sort of purity to them, some sort of goodness in them. But it doesn't take long before the industry itself begins to do what? It turns them. And pretty soon, we're looking at these people saying, what happened to Hannah Montana? What happened to, and we can add the names to that list, right? That's what happens in church. Fame and money begin to distort us as well as the gospel. Just as a side note, someone who is committed, surrendered to God, both fame and money can be used to God's glory. Why else? Sometimes they do it to fill a church. Because in today's world, no different than in the first century, people do not want truth. They want to be entertained. So they start to adjust the scripture. Somebody sent me something here a while back about a church. I believe, if I remember right, it was in Arizona. And this particular church, did you send that to me? Has nobody who's saved. Because when you get saved in this church, they kick you out to go to a different church. What is a church? What is the worship? Is it a place for people to be saved? That happens sometimes, doesn't it? But it is a gathering of believers to worship the God that they believe in. See, we've distorted because we want to fill the pews. Oh, if I'm going to offend people, let me just keep going. I feel that way about churches like cowboy churches or biker churches or trucker churches. I believe that there's a legitimate ministry to cowboys, a legitimate ministry to bikers, a legitimate ministry to truckers. But when we start narrowing the scope of who we want to be a part of our church, who can be saved through our church, who the gospel goes to, we have distorted it for our own purposes. So that brings me to the next reason why people distort the gospel. They distort it to make themselves comfortable. If I can fill the church with sinners just like me, then I won't feel convicted. If I can fill the church with farmers or cowboys or ranchers just like me, then I don't have to worry on those days when I put my farm or my ranch or my horses or my ride or my this or my that before God. So we start building these groups so we won't feel offended, won't feel convicted. Brothers and sisters, the gospel is for conviction, isn't it? When Peter was preaching at Pentecost, what did he tell the people? Who did he tell the people crucified Jesus? He said, "You crucified Jesus." That's convicting. When we get to thinking about it and we get to looking at Scripture and we see that our sin is just as much responsible for his being on the cross as anybody else's, that's convicting. So let's not talk about that. Let's talk about how he turned water into wine. Let's talk about how he took a couple of fish and a couple of loaves of bread and fed 5,000 men plus the women and children. Let's talk about how he walked on water. Are these bad things to talk about? No. But if we don't go any further than those and get to the gospel that convicts the heart of the sin, that draws us to the need of a cure that is Jesus Christ, then what have we done? I find that churches that talk about God's love, churches that talk about the stories of the Bible, never seem to get to sin. I am of the opinion that topical sermons are like candy. And I've said this before. They're like candy because they're good, they're enjoyable, but too much of it's going to make you sick. A topical sermon is that way. When we get a topic, we can get stuck on a topic and we get sick because we do not get the whole counsel of God. Now, I'm not against a topical sermon from time to time. I'm not even against a series of topical sermons. But ultimately, we get back to going verse by verse, word by word through the Word of God so that we get the whole counsel of God. To preach constantly, topically, I guarantee you, leads to distortion of the gospel. It leads to it because you become malnutritioned. You need the whole counsel of God. So Paul says that even if an angel comes and preaches to you a different gospel, let him be accursed. He says, even if I, Paul himself, even if I teach you a different gospel, let me be accursed. Let me be damned to hell. He says that in verse 8. But look at verse 9. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. This was so important to Paul that he said it twice. This was so serious to him that he made sure people knew where he stood. Often there's no doubt where Paul stands on things, right? Let's look at 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11. He says, "For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." 2 Corinthians 11, verse 14. "And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light." This is what's happening. The false gospels, the false teaching, is the enemy wanting to take the focus of your reading, of your devotion, of your witnessing off of the glory of God and on to anything else. So he looks like an angel of light. That's why sometimes when they say things, they draw us in. They draw us in. That's why there are books out there, for example, The Shack, that say things that draw people in and they like what it says. But when you take that and you take it back to God's Word and measure it, you say this distorts and perverts who Jesus Christ is. This distorts and perverts who God is. But it sure sounded nice. Several years ago, used to be a German lady who came to church with us some. She went to Trinity some. She went to Emmanuel some. She took me out to a friend of hers' house. She wanted me to witness to this friend. And we got there, and this lady's house was full of angels. There were ceramic angels. There were angel dolls. There were stuffed angels. There were angels' pictures. And this woman believed that those angels would take care of her. Well, that's far enough out there that we can say, that's far out there. But you know, there are people who put more faith in an angel than they do in Jesus Christ. They put more faith in an angel Who's an angel? The angel is a servant of God, one who does the bidding of God. God sends them, God retrieves them. Angels, you might say, are soldiers because they do not decide their own orders. They follow the orders that come from God. So ultimately, the angel, like us, becomes a tool to God. But when we start worshiping the created, which is what an angel is, when we start worshiping the created, we have gone away from the true gospel. And we need somebody to draw us back. We need God to send someone or to send something to show us the truth. Sometimes God does that just simply in our Bible reading, doesn't he? Have you ever had a time when you were seemed to be distanced from God and you got into his word and he drew close to you because of that word? Or have you had a time when you were distanced from God and he sent somebody and maybe they didn't even realize what it was that they were saying, but it was exactly what you needed to hear that day? Over the years, I have been accused many times of having microphones in people's houses because I'll preach something and they'll say, oh, well, we just had that conversation at home. You must have a microphone in our house. Sometimes God even uses me to show truth. Brothers and sisters, friends, I want you to turn to God's word for everything. I want you to find your satisfaction in God's word. We are told in the catechism that the chief end of man, I use this catechism so often because I love this, and it's so missed in today's world. The chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Well, there's people who leave off to enjoy him forever because they can't figure out how to enjoy God. I know that sounds silly to those of you who are enjoying God, but there's people who can't figure out how to enjoy him. And the reason they can't figure out how to enjoy him is because they don't have a solid gospel and foundation, and what they're doing is not glorifying God. You can't enjoy God without glorifying him. And you can't glorify God unless you really know him. So when we get into his word and we get to know him so closely that the false has no place in us, we begin to enjoy him. We enjoy the things he shows us. We enjoy his creation. We enjoy the time in prayer. But that enjoyment is missed by so many who profess to be Christian. So to conclude or to summarize, I saw somebody use this illustration. They used the illustration of a man who printed up his own money. He made the paper to feel like real money. And he printed it up on a jet printer, and he took it to spend. The first place he went, he was arrested. He had lots of money, but it was worthless. And there's a lot of people who have lots of things to say about God, but they're worthless. They bring him no joy. They bring him no satisfaction, and they bring God no glory. Let's go for the real thing. Let's dig into his word and let's go forward. Throughout this epistle, we're going to revisit this subject often because that's what the epistle's about. Please stand with me. Father in heaven, Lord, as we close this service, Father, I pray that you have spoken to those who have heard this message. Oh, Father, I pray that in speaking to them, that you have drawn them to yourself, that you have encouraged them to continue in your word. Continue in prayer, seeking to know you more intimately. Father, I do thank you for those who are here. I thank you for those who are watching right now live. And I thank you, Father, for those who will hear this on the radio. To you be all glory. I thank you, Father, that you would use me. Not only am I a sinner, but like Moses, I'm not eloquent of speech, but you, Lord, you can use anything and anyone. To you be all glory. In Christ Jesus I pray. Amen.
How important it is for us to know the truth of God's word. It is the very standard of all truth and life, and it is what allows us to know what we believe is actually true. This is a prerequisite for pleasing God, for enjoying a relationship with Him. Our relationship with God must be grounded in truth. You cannot just make these things up. You cannot enjoy God unless you glorify Him, and you cannot glorify Him unless you know Him, and you cannot know Him without His Word. The Word teaches us who He is, and the false has no place in us. False teachers have no truth worth hearing. They only offer that which will be poison in the end, ruin to the hearer, and death to all who heed. We want to thank you for joining us today. We'd love to hear from you. If you want to hear more of Pastor Jim, you can find him on the web at www.sermonaudio.com. Just search for Lighthouse Southern Baptist Church. If you've been blessed by this message or have questions about the content or about our ministry, if you have need of counsel or guidance or want us to pray for you, please reach out to us and let us know. We can be reached in many different ways. We can be called toll-free at 800-416-9352. That number again is 800-416-9352. You can find us on the web at www.lightoftheWordRadio.com. Once more, that's www.lightoftheWordRadio.com. Or you can reach us by mail at Light of the Word Radio, P.O. Box 1, St. George, Kansas, 66535. When you reach out to us in any of these ways, you can also inquire about participating in the support of this ministry. If you desire to partner with us to keep this broadcast on the air, please let us know. We would like to send you a gift of appreciation. At your request for a gift of any size, we'll send you the book On This Day, A Daily Guide to Spiritual Lessons from Christian History by Dr. Paul E. Barkey. This 640-page book is organized around each day in the calendar with stories from history and a biblical lesson for each. On This Day brings great stories from history to us and applies them to help lift our eyes upward to see the God who governs all of history. It's just one of Dr. Barkey's daily devotions that bring lessons to light from history, and it's yours free as a thank you for a gift of any size. Just mention that you would like the book when you call or write. Thank you for allowing us to spend some time with you. We hope that you'll join us next time on Light of the Word Radio. Until then, I'm Pastor Eugene, and on behalf of all of us here at Light of the Word Radio, thanks, and may God bless you and the hearing of His Word.
Hello, friends. Pastor Jim here with the final word. Today, we have Jared Burdick with us. We have been working on and putting together this End Abortion Now rally that we're having in St. George. We've been asking you for your prayers. We appreciate your prayers. We would love for you to come if you feel that you can make it here for that. But we also want you to know that we're not alone. It's not just us out there doing this. This is something that God has raised up men and women around the country and even around the world to do. And I'm going to turn it over to Jared to share a little bit about another rally that's coming up.
Thanks, Jim. Yeah, that's right. On February 8th and 9th in Oklahoma City, there's going to be a conference and rally hosted by Free the States organization. You can check out the rally and more information at freethestates.org. On the 8th, they're going to have a conference all day that's going to carry into the 9th, and then they're going to go to the Capitol building as they support their local representative who's going to be putting forth an abolition bill. So it is super important if you're in that area to be able to come out and support them. Myself will be there. Trying to do what we can to support them from here in Kansas and to strengthen relationships with people there. Along with FreeTheStates.org, there is the End Abortion Now Coalition, who we are directly partnered with out of Apologia Church in Phoenix, Arizona. And they have a list of over 500 churches across the globe who are dedicated to this fight to end abortion now with a biblical worldview, to do this the way God wants us to do it. So it's important to understand that there are other people out there, other Christians and churches who are active and wanting to glorify God by ending abortion now.
Thank you, Jared. And again, we do ask for your prayers. Nothing can happen apart from God. And I believe it is so important for God to hear us praying and bringing these petitions before Him. So I do ask that you be in prayer for this. If you can come and join us, love for you too. If you can make it down to Oklahoma City for that on February 8th and 9th, I'm hoping to be able to be there as well with Jared. We would love to see you. Let us know you're out there and let us know that you're praying for us. And for now, I would like to say, Sola Deo Gloria, to God be the glory alone. We'll see you next time on Light of the Word Radio. God bless.